and an angel, a single angel, one angel, appeared. Eli was that angel. Yes, exactly. And now here, all of a sudden, fast forwarding just a few verses, we see it's not just one angel, and it's not even just a handful of angels. The scripture says it was a representation of the heavenly host, a multitude of angels announcing peace. All of the angels in heaven assembled to announce peace. Peace. But notice something here. Notice something here. He says, this peace is given to all of mankind, on those to whom have received God's favor. Peace. What better announcement, what better gift could we receive? Not just at this time of the year, but in our lives. What better gift could we receive than the gift of peace? And so we get caught up in the euphoria. We get caught up in the, yes, peace. And then reality kicks in and we step back and say, peace? Really? Is this a joke? Peace? I'm not sure where you are in this, but it seems to me that there's a disconnect between the announcement of peace and the giving of peace and what we presently enjoy. As we sit here today, there are some folks just down the road in Winston-Salem who are planning funerals for some people who were senselessly murdered in their workplace just a few days ago. Peace? Really? As we sit here today, we have armed forces stationed all over the world, Afghanistan, all throughout the Middle East, numerous hot spots all over the world where wars and rumors of wars are raging. Peace? Really? Really? Peace? Just this year alone, just 2019 alone, more than 1,000 believers have lost their life in one country alone, Nigeria. Peace? Really? Peace? It seems that everywhere we look, there are wars, disagreements. Maybe the disagreements don't involve weapons like guns and missiles. But even right here in our own country, our political debate has become so divisive and so filled with hate and accusation. Even people of goodwill, we're not even free to disagree on things and still be at peace one with another. Peace? It seems like a cruel joke, doesn't it? I bring you good tidings of great joy and the announcement of peace. Joy and peace, really? Am I the only one that seems to be a disconnect? Peace. But I want us to notice exactly what the scripture says. I want us to take notice of what the actual announcement involves. It says, there is peace available for those on whom God's favor rests. You see, here's the key. Here's the key to understanding and making sense of the seeming disconnect. Here's the key. God's peace is only available to people who rest within His favor. It's only those who have received the favor and the grace and the mercy of God who can access this gift of peace. So how do we know if we're a part of that group who's in the favor of God? How can we know? Very simple. If you, my friend, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Him, then peace is available for you, because it is only through Him. It is only through the gift of peace. It is only through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can be at peace. So now it might be good for us to take a step back and define what we mean by peace. Let's understand, it's not the world, it's not the news media, it's not the military, it's not anything else that defines this biblical, scriptural gift of peace. Let's let the Word of God speak for itself. You see, peace is not simply the non-existence of conflict. I mean, the Scripture tells us, in this world you will have trouble. So this promise of peace for those that have received God's favor, it can't simply mean that all of a sudden everything is good and there's no more conflict and no more strife. It can't mean that. Instead, as we dig into the Scripture and as we understand what it's really saying to us, we come to the conclusion that peace isn't simply the non-existence of conflict. It's the ability to rest and trust in the midst of conflict. Peace. Peace. So, like joy, peace is a deep, settled disposition that keeps us and sustains us come what may. The Scripture says that God can give us a peace that will guard our hearts and minds. What does it need guarding from? If the conflict has ceased, we know that not to be the case. We understand that there'll always be difficulties. We understand that conflict will always be there. We understand that there'll always be disagreements. We get that. And so peace can't be the fact that those things no longer exist. Instead, peace is the anchor that allows us to continue to trust in God and continue to stand firm and not be shaken. Even when our circumstances are difficult and we don't understand what's going on, peace. It's the ability to sleep in the boat when the storm is raging. Peace. And so now I'm beginning to feel a little more reassured. And now I'm beginning to truly come to the conclusion that this peace isn't something that's going to make everything okay. All of a sudden the clouds are gone and the sun is. It's not that at all. The clouds may stay. The storm may rage. The difficulties may exist. The wars might continue. The contentious rancor in all of our dealings, it's going to be there. But I'm anchored through the peace of God. Come what may, the peace of God. Peace. Hear what Isaiah has to say about this. Isaiah the prophet, in chapter 53, verse 5, he says this, "But he," speaking of Christ, "but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." I dare say any of us, were we there on that day that Christ gave his life on the cross, none of us could look at this mess unfolding on Calvary and say, "Boy, this is a peaceful situation." It was far from it. It was horrible. It was brutal. It was barbaric. He was bleeding from everywhere. There's no peace involved in that. The peace comes because of that. Hear what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 16 says this, "For he himself," Jesus, "for he himself is our peace. The one who has made the two one." Those who weren't a part of the family of God into a part of the family of God. He's made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall of hostility, conflict, disruption, tension, war. He's torn all of that down and abolished it in his flesh, the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. See, here's the situation. Here's the reality of it. Before you came to know Christ, before I came to know Christ, whether I wanted to be or not, because I was born into sin and I inherited sin nature, before I came to know Christ, I wasn't just apart from him. The scripture says I was at enmity with him. I was an enemy of God. Well, I wouldn't consider myself an enemy. You need to understand your Bible. The scripture said before you came to know Christ as your Savior, you were literally an enemy of God. Now, listen, friends, you can afford to pick a fight with some people. You don't want to pick a fight with God. The one who can, with spoken word, create worlds, and you're going to pick a fight with him? And see, that's the trouble. That's the situation. Before Christ, you were not at peace with God. I was not at peace with God. There was a wall. There was a barrier. It was the existence of sin in your life and the existence of sin in my life. It kept us from being reconciled to God. And Jesus, through the one act of obedience to the cross, tore down the barrier that would not allow me to be reconciled to God. You see, because God exists in eternal holiness, and I was born into eternal sinfulness, and there was no way that those two sides could ever meet. You see, God is so holy, he cannot be in the presence of sin. And the only way that those two opposing sides, those two enemy sides could ever come together was if that thing that separated them were torn down. And Christ, in his own body, tore down that wall of separation. And so now it makes sense. Listen, one angel is not sufficient. We got to gather them all together and say, this baby, this one who was born, this one who will live sinlessly, this one who will die sacrificially, this one who will be raised victoriously, the one who lives forever to intercede on our behalf, has brought us peace. I couldn't live in peace with God apart from what Christ has done. If he was going to die, he had to be born. And so the announcement of peace. Peace has come. Peace has come. You see, Jesus, hear this, Jesus is the solution to our quest for peace. We all want to live at peace with each other and with God. And Jesus is the answer. He's the key that fits that lock that can't be opened any other way. Jesus is the solution to our quest for peace. He's the only one who brings it. Therefore, the announcement of the angels, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I'm telling you, through the birth of this Jesus, peace is possible. But understand, it's not just a peace with God. It's a peace with one another. And ultimately, he brings us peace within ourselves. I want us to look at this idea of Jesus being the solution to the problem of being at peace with God. We already mentioned it, but I'll mention it again as we move forward. Sin is the problem because sin separates us from God. And the only way that was going to be solved is if God himself, we've mentioned this as a theme with us, as if God himself took the initiative to tear down that wall, to tear down that barrier, to eliminate that issue of sin, because otherwise we'll never be reconciled to God. We all know what the book of Romans says. It says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All of us fall short of God's perfect standard. Every one of us has this problem. There's not one of us that is exempt. And to make it worse, there's nothing you can do about it. Try as hard as you will. Buckle down. Turn over a new leaf. Be a better person. it's still not sufficient. Enter Christ, the only one who could tear down that wall. So this is where the message of the angels come in. It's through Christ's birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection that peace with God is possible. He was that sacrifice. No longer enemies, but now, I love this, through Christ, we're no longer enemies of God, but we're friends. And even further than that, as if that's not enough, to be considered a friend of God, as if that's not enough, we've actually become brothers and sisters. The Bible says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Friendship with Christ would be enough. He now calls me brother. Moments ago, I was an enemy of God on the receiving end of his wrath because he's so holy and I'm so sinful. But because of what Christ has done, we can be at peace. Let that sink in, folks. We who are finite can be at peace with the infinite God because of Christ. Because of Christ, we can be at peace with God. Secondarily, I want us to understand that this gift of peace not only means that we can be at peace with God, it means that we have the ability to be at peace with each other. Listen. Even when I'm at my very best, even when you are at your very best, that sin nature within us is selfish. Try as hard as we will, self-interest always kicks in. And what that does is it creates disruption and division and tensions, conflict between us all. Listen, I'm not ever going to be selfish on purpose, but it's built into me. Can I tell you what? It's built into you too. Tension. Disruption. Disagreements that break out into outright conflict. But because we can be at peace with God, we also have been given the gift to be at peace one with another. Now see, this becomes a really important point to understand when we remind ourselves that God requires of us something that is impossible to manufacture on our own. Remember what he said, love your enemies. Wait. I thought that's the very nature of an enemy. It's someone you don't love. Right? Do good to those who persecute you. Excuse me? They're persecuting me. Show kindness to those who use you. Hello. That's impossible. God, you're asking me to do the impossible. How can I love an enemy? How can I be at peace with someone who is striving against me? They started it. I'm over here minding my own business. They started. And you want me to love them? You won't even let me hunker down and just defend myself? No, I want you to love them. I want you to go the extra mile. If they ask for one thing, give them two. If they slap you on one cheek, give them the other one. Hello. You're asking the impossible. But as I've said so many times before, listen, don't get yourself all in a panic, because every time God requires something from you, he will supply the ability to meet his demand. We've used this illustration before, but I'll do it again. Jim, if I come up to you and I have a gun in my hand and the threat is death, and I say, Jim, right now, right here, give me $1 million. Now, if you can do that, I need to show you the offering bucket. I would venture to say that if that were happening right now, I could say, Jim, $1 million or your life, you're in trouble. Unless, and don't expect this, but unless I reach into my wallet and I first give you $1 million, and then I turn to you and say, $1 million or your life, you're able to reach into your pocket now and give to me what I gave to you. And so when he says, be holy even as I am holy, do you know who you're talking to? I'm not at all holy. How dare you, God? You're setting me up for failure. You're asking something from me that I can't do on my own. Now you're starting to get the picture. What he demands from you, he will first give to you. And so you have now become the holiness and the righteousness of God in Christ. And so when he demands that you be holy, you just turn around and give Jesus right back to him. And so when he demands that we be at peace with our enemies, unless he provides that peace for us, we're in trouble. But instead, what he does is by his own grace and by his own mercy, he gives us peace with himself that we might be able to be at peace one with another. And so when the normal expectation is you're going to give just as good as you get, you do it to me, I'm going to do it to you twice as hard. No, instead we step back, and because of the gift of peace, we're at peace with God. I don't have to be an enemy with you. Listen, God has forgiven me so much. He's given me life itself. And I'm going to hold that against you? Nah. No. Because I'm at peace with God, I can be at peace with you. Amen? Peace with God allows us to be at peace one with another. And remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, those who have the ability to go around and be making peace one with another. Huh. And so now this gift is more far-reaching than just me being in a right relationship with God. Actually, because I'm in right relationship with him, I can be in right relationship with you. And so if you despitefully use me, it's okay. I can still be at peace with you. Even if you consider yourself my enemy, that's okay. I can be at peace with you. Right? Because God has given us the gift of peace. It not only applies to our relationship with him, it allows me to be at peace with you and allows you to be at peace with me. And so, listen, we're gonna rub each other the wrong way from time to time. Anybody, did you realize that? We're gonna disagree on some things. We're not gonna see eye to eye on everything. And that's okay. That's all right. I can be at peace with you. You can be at peace with me because he is the Prince of Peace. Man, I've got my most important relationship straightened out, me and God. I can be in right relationship with you. Actually, that's the meaning of the word righteousness, by the way. It means in right relationship, vertically and horizontally. Don't tell me that you love God if you hate your brother. Don't tell me you're right with God when you're not right one with another. It doesn't work that way. And so because God has given us peace with himself, we can be at peace one with another. And then finally, I want us to understand, we can be at peace with ourselves. We can be at peace with addiction of any kind, obsessive behaviors, aggression, striving, disputes, tension. All of these are our attempts to find joy and peace. But remember, peace is only found in Jesus. When God allows us to experience his peace with him and one with another, something begins to settle deep within our own hearts. And we quickly start coming to the understanding, Jesus sees me differently than I might see myself. You see, I'm fully aware of my own inadequacies. You are fully aware of your own inadequacies and your deficiencies. In the quietness of our own mind, and in the moments when we're going to be brutally honest with ourselves, we would have to step back and say, man, who am I that God would show me this kind of mercy? I know who I am. I know what a mess my life is. I know how what I put forth isn't always what's really going on inside of me. And so we begin, if we're not careful, we'll begin to allow ourselves to delve into this mindset that says, well, maybe this provision of God's peace is for other people, but because of who I am and what I've done, He can't really mean that for me. But when we really allow the truth of God's word to sink into us, He loved you enough and still loves you enough to this day to not allow anything you've done, to not allow any attitude that you harbor. The Bible says, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. Now, don't go getting the big head. You're nothing on your own. But in His eyes, you are worth dying for. Hear that. Let that sink in. If you, my friend, were the only one, He would have died. The Bible says He left 99 who were safe in the fold to go find the one. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that God's provision, that God's forgiveness, that God's mercy, that God's joy, that God's peace is for someone else. But somehow, because of all you've done or some kind of attitudes that you've held on to, that somehow you're not an applicant. Somehow you're not able to receive the peace that God has for you. Listen, He not only wants you to live at peace with Him and at peace one with another, He wants you to be at peace within yourself. He wants you to be able to lay down at night and know that everything is okay. He wants you to be at peace within your own self. He wants you to know that you are valuable enough that Christ sent His, that God sent His Son to die for you. So God wants us to be at peace with Him. And so He gave us the gift of peace. God wants us to be at peace one with another, even that one who despitefully uses you, and so He gives us the gift of peace. He wants you to have peace within your own self, where you're not constantly striving and feeling like less than. Now, apart from Him, you are less than, and so am I. But thank God we're not apart from Him. Amen? He wants you to be at peace with Him and with one another, and peace within yourself. And so now the question, in closing, the question is this. Question is this: is it possible to lose this peace? I know God has this amazing provision of peace for me. I know that God wants me to live in right relationship with Him, and therefore in right relationship with you. I know that. But is there anything I can do? Is there any attitude that I can adopt that would disqualify me? Well, let's go back to the original scripture. This peace of God is given to those on whom God's favor rests. Those who have entered relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And so if we ever find ourselves outside of that provision, if we ever find ourselves walking on our own, if we ever find ourselves trying to generate and manufacture right relationships one with another apart from the peace that God gives us, I would say you're doomed for failure. It's just not going to work. Instead, because of the gift that God gives us through His Son, we can be at peace. When we See, here's the whole thing. God has a purpose for your life that is far greater than you can imagine. Let that sink in. You're not just a passive recipient of God's mercy and God's grace and God's joy and God. It's not that he just says, well, I'll just hand this stuff out willy-nilly. No, he has already designated, he's already purposed for you a specific destiny. Ultimately, that destiny is to be found in the image of Christ. And so whenever we try to attain and whenever we try to hold on to the peace with God and peace with one another in our own strength, it's not going to work, because the only way that we can be at peace is through the provision of Christ. And if we ever try to attempt it any other way, it's not going to work. Anybody who's ever tried it, you know it doesn't work. And so today, I would issue this invitation to you. For those of you who are already in relationship with God through Christ, be reminded today, his purpose for your life is that you be at peace, that you're not striving against him and striving against each other, and even striving within your own self. That's not his plan for your life. His plan for you is that you would just receive his peace, that you might manifest his peace. So if you're here today and you've already entered into that relationship with Christ, you've already received him as your Savior, I want to encourage you today, my friend, be at peace. That tension that exists between you and that co-worker, that's not God's plan for you. Having received the peace of God, now be a peacemaker in your family and in your job. Amen? And so, for those that have received Christ, be reminded of that. Your life doesn't have to be filled with tension and discord. Instead, your life can be characterized by peace. If there happens to be one here today, I just don't know and I can't make any assumptions. If there happens to be anyone here today who has not received this gift of peace through Christ, let me just speak to you just a minute, Doctor, could you? At some point, if you're here today and you've not received Christ as your Savior, this is specifically for you. And I'm not picking on you, but if you're here, you know who you are. At some point, my friend, you're going to reach a conclusion that all of this striving and all of this attempting and all of this effort to try to somehow settle myself down, I know people like this. They're trying to make sense of their life apart from a relationship with Christ. And it's a never-ending struggle. They go from one thing to another. They go from one challenge to another. And nothing seems to satisfy. Nothing settles them down. Nothing gives them the peace that would allow them to just relax and lay down in the Lord's presence at the end of the day and say, ah, come what may, I'm right with God. Apart from a relationship with Christ, that struggle will be eternal. And so my prayer for you today, if you don't know Christ, my prayer for you today is that you would understand, that you would hear fresh and anew the announcement of the angels. With the birth of Christ comes the opportunity to be at peace. Peace with God, peace one with another, and at peace within your own self. Amen. You good, sis? Hey, she's come forward today. Is there anyone else that would just like to? And by the way, responding here in just a minute doesn't mean that you're a rank sinner and everyone's going to say, that's not it at all. If you wanted to respond today and just say, yeah, hey, I just want to be a part of this prayer, it's simply an acknowledgement on our part that says, I'm coming to an understanding, or I've been reminded of something today that I want to affirm and seal in my own heart. That the striving and the tension and the hardship and the disruption in my life, it doesn't have to characterize me. Instead, though the storm may rage, I can be at peace. Is there anybody that would just like to seal that in your own heart today? If so, feel free to join us here today. We're just going to take a few minutes and just kind of seal the deal. Is that all right? We'll just do that for a few minutes. Yeah, it's okay. Hey, maybe some of you are going into a stressful situation over the next few days. You're going to be with family members because it's a holiday and you're being forced into a situation that you're not looking forward to. Can I tell you, God can give you peace and you can go through that thing and not be stressed out, but God can give you peace. Amen. Hey, we got these that have come. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Lord, we're thankful that through the provision of Christ, we can know peace. When our hearts become unsettled, our lives become filled with anxiety. Sometimes it's from within and sometimes it's from without. But Lord, today we acknowledge that you are the source of peace, that through the gift of Christ we can be at peace with you, at peace one with another. And we can even have that peace within ourselves. Lord, thank you for the amazing gift of peace that comes through Christ. Lord, if there happens to be one here today, I don't know, but if there happens to be one here today that doesn't know you, maybe they've been hanging around the perimeter of religion all of these years, but they've never come to know you. Or maybe they once knew you and the peace that you bring, but somehow they've drifted away. Lord, whatever the case might be, if there's one here today that doesn't know you and therefore doesn't know that peace, Lord, I pray today that you would be born in them afresh and anew. That there would be a turning to you and a receiving of the joy and the peace that you bring. My friends, Christmas is a time of reflection where we don't just sing songs, where we don't just think about Santa Claus and Rudolph, but this is a time of the year when we can intentionally step back and say, because Christ is born, I too can be born again. Because Christ came, I can have joy and I can be at peace. My prayer for you, if you don't know that peace, is that it would take place, that it would be born in you today. What an awesome gift to receive at this Christmas season, the gift of peace. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to bless your people today with the reminder that you're a God of peace. You're not a God of tension. You're not a God of disappointment. You're not a God of striving and hardship and fighting and difficulty. And God, you're a God who brings peace. And so for that one whose mind is in turmoil today, Lord, we speak peace. Lord, for that one who is facing an uncertainty, Lord, we speak peace. The storm may rage, but God, we can be kept and sustained by your peace. That's my blessing for them today. I bless your people with peace through Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for God's peace? Amen. Amen. Hey, look, again, unless you're afraid of spreading germs, I want you to hug some necks appropriately, shake some hands, greet one another in the name of the Lord, and have a great, great Christmas. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for being here today.